Thank Brother Tom for his prayer and each of you for praying on our behalf this evening. I want to ask you to consider this question. If you could pray to God, which of course you can, but if you could, there was only one thing that you could desire for your child, or a child if you don't have children, what would it be? One thing only. Now, assuming that salvation is not part of the list, obviously that would be at the top, but one thing, what would it be? Good health? A lot of friends? Money or material things? College education? A good, godly spouse? How about a good job to provide for a family? Or maybe wisdom, like Solomon asked concerning himself. I'd like to suggest that if there was one thing that we could ask, and only one thing, how about a good heart? I'm not talking about a healthy physical heart, but heart in meaning the center of our emotions, our will, our intellect, our desires. There are phrases that we use that contain the word heart, and their meanings reference various aspects of what the heart represents. For instance, sometimes we might say, have a heart, and really we mean be merciful, or referring to the emotions or the will of a person. Or we might say, well, I had a change of heart. Our heart didn't really change, but we changed our mind. And the heart, again, is referring to the mind. Sometimes we say, well, I know that by heart, meaning we memorized something, again, referring to our mind. Sometimes we say we have a heavy heart, and that's referring to our emotions. Or we say a broken heart. Again, our emotions. Or cry your heart out. Again, a reference to emotions. Sometimes we say have your heart in the right place, referring to a right attitude or to be kind. Sometimes we say, I have my heart set on that, referring to my desires, something I want badly, all referencing the heart and what it means or represents and what we want to look at tonight. So if we could pray and ask for one thing from God, for our children, and even though good health is a blessing, good friends are valuable in life, money and material things are necessary, a college education is helpful and necessary for certain vocations, a good job is increasingly valuable today, a good godly spouse will have a huge impact on one who chooses to marry, and even though we can't put a price tag on the value of wisdom for this life, still shouldn't the priority be to ask God to grant our children good hearts? Why would I say that? Well, physically speaking, our lives revolve around our heart, obviously. Now, I know that the life is in the blood, but if our heart isn't pumping, we're not moving, right? Yeah, it's got to pump that blood for us to have life. As long as the heart is pumping, there's life, and without it, there is none. Spiritually speaking, our lives revolve around our heart. In other words, as the heart goes, so goes our lives. And Jesus referenced that in Matthew 12:34, where he said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Jesus was simply saying that one's life will reflect his or her heart. Can't avoid it. The choices that we make, the love we have or don't have, the kindness that we offer to others or that we don't offer, the words we say, the thoughts we dwell on, the actions we do or don't do, the way we attire our bodies, the humility that we have or that we don't have, all are often a reflection of what kind of heart we have. I believe having a good heart is very important, don't you? Very necessary. It's interesting, the kind of man Samuel was looking for here in 1 Samuel 16 to anoint as king of Israel, as opposed to what God was looking for. Somehow Eliab stood out to Samuel, and he was impressed. And evidently Eliab had physical characteristics that Samuel thought qualified him to be king. There he is. He has to be the one that God wants. He must have been impressive in his outward appearance. Now, in Samuel's defense, if you or I were in his shoes, we likely would have looked for the same characteristics. I don't think we'd have been looking for a small, frail, sickly-looking person to be king. What do we? When somebody looks fit, healthy, strong, handsome makes it even better. That's going to represent us. That's our king. But to God, those qualifications didn't mean too much. He was looking for a man with a good heart. A good heart. The Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now that verse is not saying that how we dress has no significance or that God's not concerned with it. Dress is not the context of the verses here. What it does mean is that God is not impressed with one's physical looks or stature, as we often are. Isn't that what often impresses us? You see someone that's got a fit body or is good looking, and as Tom said, we already start coming up with our conclusions. God takes notice to one's heart. And since it's that important to God, shouldn't it be that important to us? That above all, we would pray for our children to have good hearts. Have good hearts. It's important that we note when God was looking at David's heart, what was it that God was looking for? What made it a good heart? Well, if you flip back a few chapters, we will find the answer to chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. Beginning at verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." The Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart. God was looking for a heart like his own, which would bear evidence in the person of with a nature of a will to obey God. A will to obey him. A good heart is characterized by a will to obey God. It's a heart like God's, a heart whose characteristics are patterned after those of God. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for a man who had a heart similar to his own. If we only could ask God for one thing, for our children, shouldn't we pray for them to have a good heart? This thought was captured in this and in these this writing. As I read it, you can follow what it's saying. It's written by a parent. After you're sleeping, I slip in your room and I kneel down at your side. With my hand on your chest, as you take each breath, here's what I pray for your life. God, give this child a good heart. God, give this child a good heart. One that cares for the weak. One that hears when you speak. A heart that will make you smile. God, give this child a good heart. Now notice the shift, because it starts to hit home base. Lord, I keep thinking how I'm still your child. As believers here, aren't we God's children? Aren't we? In other words, I'm a child, you're a child. So I keep thinking how I'm still your child. And even though I'm grown up now, and we both know, I need to pray this for me. So tonight I'm asking, somehow, God, give this child a good heart. One that cares for the weak. Hears when you speak. A heart that will make you smile. God, give this child a good heart. You see, this is not just something to pray for concerning our children, but for each of us as children of God. God, help me to have a good heart. You know, surely David had some understanding of this and had a pretty good grip on this thought, the need for a good heart, as he prayed upon being convicted of his sin with Bathsheba. He said, create in me a clean or a pure heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knew the importance of a good heart. Let's consider some other aspects of a good heart. It is characterized by a will to obey God, but let's take it a little further. I believe a good heart is also a humble heart. You know, there's no room for pride in a good heart. I read a definition for humility, and I like it pretty good, so I wrote it down. I quote it here. Seeing yourself as God sees you and measuring your character against the character of God. Seeing yourself as God sees you, that's important, because that takes care of the oh is me or woe is me syndrome that thinks I can't do anything, because God doesn't see me that way. When I see myself the way God does and measure my character against his. Matthew 5 and verse 3, Jesus made it clear. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, or the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, too often we're concerned, well, what's somebody else going to think of me? And someone wrote, and I quote, we wouldn't worry so much about what other people think of us if we knew how seldom they did. Think about that. It's probably very true. We're often so worried how I look to someone else. If only we knew many times people don't even notice. A good heart is a humble heart. Secondly, and I pull this from this morning's Sunday school lesson, but a good heart is a long-suffering, patient heart. Forbearing, holding back from saying something or doing something that I shouldn't. Long-suffering, it speaks of enduring and patience. Patience, I believe, is waiting, and I pulled a couple things from what Dwayne said back in Sunday school and his lesson I thought were good, and I wrote them down, so I credit him for these. Patience is waiting, while long-suffering is how we act while waiting. Think about that one. You know, we think if I can just wait this out, I'm doing a good job of being patient. But how are we acting during the time we're waiting? And that was his point. You know, sometimes I can be so churned up inside and don't know which way to turn, and Carol knows that I need to calm down. You could say I'm being patient, but I'm not being very long-suffering. How are we acting as we're waiting? And I thought this was a good, Dwayne said this, and I just wanted to repeat it because I think it's a good thought. Things I say and do without long suffering seldom result in anything good. Think about that. The things that I say or do without long suffering seldom result in anything good. God help me to have a long suffering, patient heart. Ephesians 4 and 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Thirdly, a good heart is kind, gentle, and tender. You know, a little kindness can go a long way and have eternal effects. A verse we all know well, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind. You be kind to some people and they think something's wrong with you sometimes. What's wrong with this person? They're not used to it. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, as we say, and it's me for myself, and I don't care about you. Just get out of my way or stay out of my way. That's the mentality. And when somebody reaches out and is kind, a little kindness can have eternal effects. God help me have a kind, tender heart. From the same verse, Ephesians 4:32, a good heart is a forgiving heart. It's one that's patterned after God's characteristics, a good heart. And someone has said that never are we more like God than when we are forgiving. It's a pretty good thought. You want to be like God? I want to be like God? Be forgiving. God, help me not to hold a grudge. Help me to be quick to forgive and not grow bitter. God, help me have a forgiving heart. I believe a good heart is not only a humble heart, a long-suffering, patient heart, kind, gentle, tender heart, a forgiving heart, one that has a will to obey God, but also I believe it is a sensitive and caring heart. And some of these kind of overlap or play off of each other, but take them for what they're worth. Our Father, God, is very sensitive to our needs, isn't he? In fact, he knows them before we know them, obviously. But he's very sensitive. He knew that accident was going to happen. He knew exactly how to position that pipe. He cares. Oh, yes, he cares. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, no matter what the day or what the night, he cares. I know he cares. God, help me be sensitive to others' needs and to have a caring heart. God does. I believe a good heart also is an encouraging heart. One that seeks to lift others up instead of putting them down. One that gives hope. When you offer encouragement to someone, what are you trying to do? Trying to dig the hole deeper for them? No, you're trying to lift them up. Give them some hope. Give them something to pull, hold on to climb out of the hole. Some confidence and urging them on. What a gift from God that can be, isn't it? What a gift it is to receive encouragement. You know, recently, there was a young brother out of the blue come up to me after a service and spoke to me and gave me some encouraging words. Wow. Not that I deserve it. Not that I deserve it, but what a gift. What an encouragement. Sometimes at school, the best way that I can help a student has nothing to do with academics. Not a thing. But somehow just to try to encourage their heart. You know, this can be a real ministry for older people. I'm not including myself in the older there, okay? I see some older people sitting here. Most of them are near the front. We love you. We're coming after real fast. We're not gaining ground, but we feel like we are. What a ministry for older people. Do you know what it's like for a young person to receive encouragement from an older person? Do you know how much effect that has on a life? Have you ever received it? I have. You know, as a younger minister, for an older minister to encourage you? Wow. Now, this is something we all should be doing, but I'm just trying to, and not that our older folks don't do it. They've been a big encouragement to me, everyone that's sitting here. I'm just saying, what a ministry it can be. And have a positive effect. God, help me have an encouraging heart. A good heart is one that's loving and understanding. And our Heavenly Father has a loving, understanding heart in our relationship with Him. Too often we quickly pass judgment or heartlessly react in situations or show a lack of love and understanding. At least I know I do sometimes. And one time is too often. You know, there are times we can show love and understanding just by, let me say it this way. Many times we can show love and understanding by speaking less instead of speaking more. As we sat here the night of Love Feast near the close, and as my brother mentioned about this not being the same, that was all it took. And my emotions just kind of got lost there for a little. And Ken was sitting to my right, and he's not here. He wouldn't want me to say it, so he's not here. I can say it. And all he did was reach over and put his hand on my shoulder. I knew what that meant. He didn't have to say a word. A loving, understanding heart. God, help me to have one. How about a good heart is a potential seeing heart? Now stay with me on this. Potential seeing heart. Too often we only see the predictable. Well, judging by what I see, here's the result. I can see what's going to happen. There's no hope here. We see things as they are and assume the result. But you know, God sees the potential instead of the predictable, doesn't he? He sees the potential instead of the predictable. A potential seeing heart. God, help me see beyond the predictable and have a potential seeing heart. And last, I believe a good heart is a finish well heart. You know, a good start does not necessarily mean a good finish. If we were to, I guess we have the 100-yard dash out here on field day where we time the students just for a kind of a fun thing. And a 100-yard dash wouldn't be too bad. But if when I was in school, I think we did maybe it was a 600-yard. And, of course, we did the mile. And that we dreaded every year, at least I did. And I was a lot smaller than I am now, believe me. Skinnier, small of stature, and should have been fast. But I dreaded the mile. Oh, I could start quick, you know. Start fast, have a good start. But just help me get under that time at the end so I don't have to run it again. A good start does not necessarily mean a good finish. However, a good heart will finish well. A good heart will finish well. David, the man with a heart after God's heart, finished well, didn't he? His final words to his son Solomon over in look over to 1 Kings, if you would, chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. His words to Solomon, his final words, were a testimony concerning his own heart. You know, David had some bumps in the road, didn't he? But he finished well. A good heart finishes well. If I had only one thing we could ask God to give our children, wouldn't it be with a heart, or for a heart that has a will to obey God, a humble heart, a long-suffering, patient heart, a kind, gentle, tender heart, forgiving heart, sensitive, caring heart, an encouraging heart, a loving, understanding heart, a potential-seeing heart, and a finish-well heart. In other words, a good heart. And also in being children ourselves to our Heavenly Father, we are in need also of that kind of heart. You know, it's the best thing. It's the best thing that God could give us, a good heart.